You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, here with Sam Jam Packard, the great. We, to be honest, don't have a ton to talk about, but we are going to preview the Celtics-Rockets game. I'm going to give kind of an insider's look at Jaylen Brown's talk with Harvard students and faculty, which I was really interested and kind of fascinated by everything Jaylen Brown said and the amount of thought he put into his presentation, his speech, and the question and answer session at Harvard. So, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the Eastern Conference landscape. So I'm probably being a little unfair to us when I say we don't have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, don't sell us short. This is a podcast. We can just talk and talk. Every single night, me and John, after a post game, we're like, oh, this is going to be a short one. Then we end up talking for like 50 minutes. So who knows where the night will take us. You guys will have to listen in to find out.
Yeah. So for those of you who have never listened to us, we're the Locked On Celtics podcast, the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We have insight from the locker room. We have hot takes sometimes.
We've got a lot of hot takes.
We've got masters of comedy. Obviously, we're masters of comedy. And sometimes unintentional comedy because we're morons, but you should definitely search for Locked On Celtics if you don't subscribe to us. iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, search for us, subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating, and we'll give you the goods every day. Today, let's start with Jaylen's talk because I think it was fascinating. And
set the scene for us. Take us in there, Mr. Journalist. I didn't realize he was giving a speech. So who is, like, what was the purpose of this event? Or is this, like, to everyone be fascinated by a guy who's very good at sports but is also thoughtful?
Yeah, and that was part of his presentation, that he kind of thinks it's odd that people are fascinated that he has other interests besides sports. And he thinks, like, he shouldn't be looked at as, like, ooh, Jaylen, like, this kid, he does other things besides basketball. Everybody does other things besides basketball. But Jaylen, at 21, I think what separates him is that he's really polished and he's really educated. And he put a ton of time into his speech. He had an iPad with his notes. He brought up educational concepts. He was citing books from scholars. He basically was advocating for educational reform and just saying that a lot of people, because of the way our education system works, are not given all the opportunities. And he was talking about when he got to Cal, his academic advisors actually wanted him to not take hard courses and to not challenge himself because he, for whatever reason, like they wanted him eligible. They wanted him to have more time to play basketball. And that was their goal. And his goal was something entirely different. He wanted to push himself and he wanted to learn. And so it was just really neat to see Jaylen Brown, 21 years old, kind of command the room and everybody. It was at the Harvard Graduate School of Education and everybody really, really valued his opinion and everything that he was saying. It was obvious that he's well-learned on the subject, and he's got well-informed takes. And I think that that's what kind of separates him too, is that whenever he talks on a subject, he gives an enlightened take. Like, he's not half-assing it. He knows what he's talking about. And it was really neat to see a guy that young kind of have the command, because I know when I was in college, like, I was just a dipshit. So
likewise.
So he's college age, and he's out there and at Harvard, and I know it was really cool for him. He had his mother there, he had his grandmother there. Like, it was a really big moment for him. He really, really was excited to speak at Harvard, and it's something that means something to him, which is really cool, I think. I appreciate the fact that Jalen he's kind of trying. I don't know whether he's making it cool to be smart, but he's trying to. Right?
He's like, pretty cool. Yeah, he's a cool guy, and he is also smart. And the fact that he's, like, just the intellectual pursuit, I think, is pretty cool. Like, the idea of him taking graduate-level courses when he gets to Cal is a pretty wild first step. Like, I understand. Like, in some ways, I kind of understand his academic advisor being like, hey, man, why don't you just try out college class once before going into a graduate-level program? But clearly, he's plenty capable, and that's interesting to kind of hear what he spoke about, because I actually, like, looked into what kind of classes he took when he was at Cal, and he took this program about the intersection of sports and education and society, which I guess is a graduate level course. So he clearly has done a lot of thinking about this. So it's kind of too bad I missed the event. I don't know what I was doing, but I should have been there, because it sounds like it was a fascinating thing. And I just want to, like, it just makes you want to walk up to Jalen Brown and just start asking him, like, what he thinks about other, I guess. I'd be curious about, like, things that I know more about than education policy. When you're discussing that, it's like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So I wish I was there to understand more of the nuance of what he was saying. But he just seems like a very well-thought-out person. And you're right, it is weird that we, like, value his opinion more because he's also an amazing basketball player. But generally, people aren't this good at so many different things. So he really is just, like, a very unique individual. And so the fact that he is able to play sports at such a high level and then go out and take graduate level classes and give speeches at Harvard is damn impressive. And he should be, like, it is odd, I guess, in concept that we give him attention for that, but he deserves all the attention for that, because not only for he can do a give a speech at Harvard, he's also been playing some damn good basketball recently in the NBA as only a 21-year-old. I don't know what more you can, like, really say about him other than he's just been, like, thoroughly impressive human being.
Yeah, and I mean, he talked about so many different subject matters. He praised Colin Kaepernick. He said he praised Colin Kaepernick for making people uncomfortable. And I thought that was interesting, because that's why Kaepernick became such a story, right? Is because he forced people to kind of evaluate and talk about the national anthem, which everyone just stood up for the national anthem usually. Kaepernick did not. And then I think Kaepernick, I think he was so important because, like Jalen, he was educated on the things he talked about. He took a stand against something and he did it, and he was educated about it, and he always had answers when he was talking about it. And every time he spoke, I thought he was totally educated on the subject, and he always made himself sound good. And obviously some people did not like him kneeling down for the national anthem, but that was why it became such a big thing, and that was why people started talking about it, and that was why, you know, everybody started talking about the state of our country and how athletes kind of fit into that. And so Jalen talked a lot about how he doesn't want to shut up and dribble, and he talked about, like, he was citing books. He brought up he said if he talked to Donald Trump, he would want to ask Donald Trump if he really means the things that he says, and kind of get to the heart of who Donald Trump actually is, which I thought was a good point. Like, he says a lot of crazy stuff, and what he said was the reason that he wants to really be loud and outspoken about his beliefs and his pursuit of education. And that's something that he's made a conscious decision even before he got to the NBA to kind of brand himself as the educated basketball player. And he is an educated basketball player, but he also was very, I think, purposeful about letting people know it. And he kind of said he had a plan coming into the NBA, even before he got to the NBA, that he wanted to show that. And he talked about the dichotomy between being an athlete and an intellect and how there shouldn't be that dichotomy and how he can be an athlete and an intellect. And he wants to prove that he can be. It was a fascinating. He talked about hegemonic masculinity. He was,
whoa, there's a phrase.
He was breaking down like how minorities have fewer opportunities and sometimes work harder because of it. He said when he was at Cal Berkeley that it was the first time he wasn't judged for some of the things he did. And like he said when he was in Georgia, like he wrote poetry and people kind of like Jalen, you're a poet. And then he got to Cal Berkeley. He's like, that was cool. All of a sudden the things that people had kind of made fun of me for or hadn't understood, it was cool. And so now it's cool that he's embraced that. And now he's trying to kind of prove that being an intelligent can be cool too. And that's a really neat thing to me that he's kind of merging cool and smarts, and he's doing it in a way like he's not a know-it-all. He's not like just in your face about things, but if you ask him about something, he's very sharp, and I appreciate that about him. I appreciate how thoughtful he is. So it was really neat to be there and kind of see how, like, there were people lined up an hour before Jalen arrived, an hour before the event started. There were like 30 people in line waiting to get in. It was sold out. They had an overflow room where more people watched the live stream from. They had people, like, I don't know how many people, probably 45 people stood up to ask him a question, and none of the questions were really about sports. It was all about Jalen's personal experiences with education and what he thinks about different things. And there was just a lot of really neat moments. And I thought the coolest moment was when a high school basketball player, he stood up and he said, I think he said he was in the Honor Society, which Jalen Brown was in. And he said he's a poet, which Jalen Brown was. And he said he doesn't share that with people. And he said, what did it take for Jalen to start sharing that with people? And Jalen said, when I got to college, it kind of opened my eyes to the fact that that could be accepted, and I was able to be myself. And he said, I hope you get that when you play in college too, and when you go to college, and when you experience that. And I thought that was powerful because, like, that's exactly why Jalen is doing this, right? So that people in his position, people who grew up and maybe they weren't considered, they weren't able to be themselves. They weren't able to show off that part of themselves because of the way they were looked at by other people. If he can make people comfortable with that, I think that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, I mean, in high school, it's being smart or trying things against the norm is generally not perceived as cool, and that's like one of the benefits of college. And so if Jalen Brown can help just basically high school students be like, yeah, no, it's generally more impressive the more you know. Like, later in life, people will be more impressed the kind of more intellectually curious you are. And, like, I know in my personal life, if, like, people who just ask questions or are more curious, they're the kind of people you want to, like, get to know and, like, who are more interesting. So Jalen Brown definitely qualifies in that. And I'm just kind of excited to see what he's capable of and what he can kind of do, because, like we've mentioned many times, he's quite young and clearly he's well thought out, and it's cool that he's in Boston, which is kind of, I mean, he got to go to Cal, which is an amazing school, and now, but he's in Boston with like places like Harvard or MIT or just kind of all the great, I guess, kind of intellectual areas in this city. I think it's cool that he gets to play in Boston and kind of explore that here. And so I'm just curious about like what he, and looking forward to what he does next, because it feels like he has a lot of potential because with his message and just with his popularity to actually kind of create some change. So that'd be, I'm just excited to see what he can do because he's clearly very well driven and motivated. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm still kind of pissed off I missed the event. You're making it sound like it was pretty fucking cool.
It was really interesting. It made you think. There was a football player who got up. He was a Harvard football player, and he said his whole life, he said, you know, when he gave an eloquent answer, when he gave an articulate answer, people acted surprised. And he said he's kind of been burdened by low expectations his whole life. And that he's always, because of that, considered himself a role model, and he's always thought that he has to show like athletes can accomplish things, that athletes can be smart, and athletes can do this and that. And it was just really neat to see how the message has already resonated with people around the Boston area, and how Jaylen Brown, by speaking out, just by being open with his pursuit of, you know, learning other languages and learning the piano by himself, and just having a number of interests and being so passionate about education, it resonates and it makes a difference for people. And I just think I was really impressed. Like when I was 21, the thing that I hated the most was standing in front of a crowd and giving a speech. That was like, when I had to give a presentation in class, my palms would get sweaty. I would be nervous the whole day. I could play basketball in front of big crowds. I could do a lot of different things, but that was, public speaking was my downfall. And so to see him up there and totally confident, totally comfortable, it was really eye opening. He's an impressive kid in a lot of ways. And I just think everybody there valued him for what he knew, because there was just a lot of substance behind what he was saying.
And to like tie it back to basketball, vaguely, which I know is probably counter to the just trying to treat him like an athlete and not like an intellectual, but just when you were talking, it was reminding me about like Brad Stevens' mindset approach, and he was talking about, I asked him if anyone actually like on the team like knew about this book, and he's like, Jaylen had definitely done it. Jaylen has like read it. He knows about like the growth mindset. And it's kind of interesting to, I guess, fuse those two things together and talk about how he seems like just like a genuinely curious person, and how he's trying to get better in basketball. Paul Flannery recently had a pretty cool article about how Jaylen does a lot of meditation and kind of thinks about it, the mental approach, and he's always trying to get better that way. So it's just interesting to see how his just kind of general approach, and for lack of a better term, growth mindset, it applies to everything in his life. So he's trying to do that in basketball. He's trying to get better, but he doesn't limit himself just to kind of entirely focusing on basketball. There's this kind of belief that he can do anything. He can show up at Cal day one and just be like, yep, I want to do grad school classes. Like that's a bold choice to go to like one of the best schools in the country and do that while also playing D1 basketball. So it's just, I don't know, I feel like I've just been gushing about Jaylen Brown the entire, I mean, we both have, but it's mighty impressive. And so the combination of him and Brad Stevens, who I also think is a pretty intellectually curious guy, it's going to be interesting to see like how those two people, I guess, develop together, because I think it's a really like a perfect pairing.
Yeah, and Jaylen, one thing that stood out from Jaylen's talk, I thought this was a great question, or at least an interesting question, something I've never heard anybody ask before. Somebody asked Jaylen what takes more intellect, playing offense or defense. And
ooh, That's a Hobbit kid. That kid's that's a good question. What did he say?
So he said he thinks defense because you're trying to take away what somebody else does best, and you're trying. It's kind of like a chess game, is what he said. You're trying to game plan against that. But one thing he said that really jumped out at me was he said he's limited sometimes because he thinks too much on the court, and he thinks that he said offense is like just freedom of expression is I believe the term he used. And he said that
that's some Kyrie shit right there.
And so sometimes he believes he thinks too much on the court, and that he's not as instinctual as he needs to be. And that was neat.
I think that can also be true, because I feel like he could use like a little bit of a Marcus Smart, just like, I'm going to do whatever it takes right now and just attack. There is some balance to that maybe. And it's interesting. Like thinking too much, I could definitely see a situation in where that would make him passive, or just like not like catching the ball in rhythm and shooting, or not like attacking immediately, where just having those instincts would be more beneficial. So, but that's cool that he was like self-aware enough to realize that. And that I think it actually kind of connects with the way he plays basketball. Like with the more that he's in attack mode on offense, it feels like he's just more explosive and creating more. And when he's more like just ready to shoot threes, catch and shoot threes, that's when he's better, when he's playing just kind of more within the rhythm of the game. But maybe that's just me trying to connect a few too many dots here, but I'm willing to admit that might be a what's going on. But it's just interesting to hear him kind of talk about that. Damn it, I wish I was there. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it was really, really, really a neat chat. I almost feel bad moving on to another topic, but I guess we probably should. We promised the people we would preview Celtics Rockets, which is a basketball game, and which is not as important as anything Jaylen Brown said at Harvard, as anything people discussed today.
Wait a second, but it's on ABC primetime Saturday night, so it might be pretty important.
It is very important. It is deeply important.
If anyone has seen the promo for that, where like the two guys like doing like scatting or rapping about it or singing, it's bad and awkward, and I hate those ABC promos. I'm sorry, I had to get that off my chest.
Okay. So do what? Let's start with a dumb question. Because it's tough to get into like previewing an entire game. How do you preview a game? Like, I hate previewing a game, actually. Previewing a game is, to me, one of the dumbest things.
Tell me what's going to happen in the game that we have no idea what's like. It's just making, like, bold predictions, or, like, there's some thought you can put into it, but it's really just, like, there's a reason they play the game, because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we've seen with the Celtics, like, anything could happen. Right now, they're playing pretty good offensive basketball, but so are the Rockets. So it could be a shootout.
Think of the last time they played the Rockets. They were down. The Celtics were down 26. Came back. Marcus Smart took two charges in the last 7.3 seconds against the probable MVP James Harden. I don't think we discussed that possibility in our preview that night. I strongly suspect.
I'm pretty sure I brought that up.
But okay.
Someone should go back and check the tape. But I'm pretty sure I guaranteed over 20 point comeback.
Compared to everybody else, a lot of teams around the league, how much of an advantage do the Celtics have because they have a number of players they can run at Harden, even if it's just like switch Horford out on him or switch Tatum out on him toward the end of a shot clock for a few possessions? How much of an advantage do you think that is against the Rockets, which basically like they force ISOs and they force switches, and then they just have Harden and Chris Paul just try to murder people and surround them with shooters and surround them with pick and roll, man. So do you think the Celtics have a unique advantage playing the Rockets, or not an advantage per se, but compared to other teams?
A decent matchup for them. Just like you mentioned, being able to put basically go small and basically switch. They could really put out a lineup where you switch 1 through 5 with Horford just coming out. Sometimes, but the fact that they have Marcus, Jaylen, Tatum, the Ojale factory, all the other wings that they have, I don't know, I guess that is it. But it's just their, I don't know, I think they have a good shot as ever, as anyone. We saw them play I guess, two different halves of basketball. Chris Paul was not playing in that first game, correct?
Correct. Chris Paul did not play. Clint Capella did not play. So two big pieces.
Two big pieces. I was going to bring up Capella because you would imagine the Celtics, if they're going to want to try and score as much as possible with the Rockets, who put up a shoot a ton of threes and score a lot of points, you imagine they're going to want to go small. I think that means a lot of Horford at the five. I don't know if Horford can like deal with the, I guess, athleticism and size of Capella. I don't know. I think it'll be an interesting matchup and a real test for the Celtics, who have played four of the not best teams in the league.
Yeah, to put it lightly.
So I think it will be an interesting test. And with Paul coming back and with Harden coming back, does that kind of change the Celtics' possible advantage of having all of those guys who can switch? Because before, you could put a lot of attention just on Harden and try to get the ball out of his hands. But now with that kind of secondary playmaker, you'd imagine that the Rockets would be a lot more lethal. And just with all their three-point shooting, I'm imagining the Celtics are going to match them with a bunch of three-point shooting themselves. I don't know. If Kyrie can keep making, like, five threes a game, the Celtics are clearly going to have a chance. But that's why we watch, because it's going to be interesting. I mean, with basketball, you can never really predict it. Louisville was up four with 0.9 seconds left tonight and lost.
You love that. You love the Louisville loss, man.
Dude, well, because I'm watching SportsCenter right now, and they just keep replaying the highlight, and it's insane.
I still haven't seen the highlight. I'll have to check that out. But it's
I bet Himmelsbach was devastated. He's a big Louisville guy.
Yes, Himmelsbach used to live in Louisville, used to work in Louisville. Shout out to Adam Himmelsbach, Boston Globe writer. Great writer.
Shout out to Louisville, too. I've been there once before. It was a pretty swell time.
Shout out to Tito.
Shout outs to Montrezl Harrell. He's pretty cool. Donovan Mitchell. Rick Pitino.
Russ Smith, bro.
Ooh, Russ Smith went there for 7 years, and it was awesome.
And then he scored like 90 points per game in China. But
shout out to Kentucky, though. I went to Kentucky many times this year. They're trying to pass a criminal justice reform bill right now. They need all the help they can get. That's my brief brief advertisement for that.
Shout out to criminal justice reform. One thing I do think against the Rockets is Marcus Morris feels like a really important piece, because the Celtics are going to have to go small. The Rockets just stretch you out. They put four shooters on the court all the time. They have Harden and Paul and playmakers everywhere, and you need to be able to switch. You need to be able to guard the arc. And so Marcus Morris, especially in the big matchups, whether it's Cleveland, whether it's Houston, whether it's Golden State, he just always feels like an important piece. And I enjoyed the mid-range Mook against Frank Kaminsky experience. Because Frank Kaminsky was like just laying back, just kind of letting Mook do his thing. And Mook doesn't just like step into mid-range jumpers. Mook has to put some sauce on it. He's got to go.
Oh, he definitely is saucing at all times.
He has to go between his legs like five or six times, and then give you a little fake one way, and then kind of hit you with the off balance. And it was I don't want to call it a chess match, because that seems like a lot more thought than went into that matchup, which is, I think, Frank Kaminsky was like, all right, I'll let him shoot. And Mook was like, oh, yeah, he's going to let me shoot.
Frank Kaminsky was like, I'm on a back-to-back, and I'm playing for the Hornets, and I have to see Dwight Howard every day. I'm not really going to try here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do think that against the Rockets, Aaron Baines will probably be minimized to an extent. Just because the Celtics will want to play small, and I think Greg Monroe will certainly be minimized because
give me some Tice updates. He's not going to be ready to play Saturday, is he?
He might be. He might be. He underwent additional testing Thursday morning, and Brad Stevens didn't know what the test showed yet, but he didn't seem too concerned. It seemed like Tice was going to travel, and Tice was going to have a shot to play at least sometime on the trip. Brad wasn't sure what that meant for Saturday's game against the Rockets, but I do think Tice is a big piece against Houston because he can slide his feet and he can switch and he can stay in front of guys. and he can still give you some size and rebounding while doing that. So Tice might be their best big man against the Rockets. Does that make sense?
I think he might be their best big man in, like,
yeah,
other than Al Horford, like, in general. But I think I've been part of the start Tice movement. He can shoot the three a little bit, and he plays with a lot of energy and is fast enough to move his feet. Like, I think the Celtics are really at their best when they go small. That was the next question I was going to ask you, is that, like, I think for the Celtics to be, like, successful in the playoffs, they need to find, like, a lineup where they can go small and, I guess, not be hounded on rebounding. If, like, Al Horford's the five, we've seen him kind of, like, he's not the best rebounder in that regard. There's a lot of times when he's the five, he has to help out on drives, and then there's just no one there to rebound. If they can get good minutes from Tice, I think they, like, really have to find a way to piece together, like, minutes at the four or five from Tice, Morris, and Jason Tatum at this point. He's kind of become less of a go-to scoring guy, and it feels like I don't know if his rebounding numbers has dropped. That doesn't really say something would happen with his giant length, but I guess, what do you think, like, would be the crunch time lineup for a Celtics right now in the playoffs? Who would be the five guys you would turn to if it's if you were Brad Stevens? And basically, who's playing next Al Horford for you? Is it going to be Tice? Is it going to be Morris? Or is it going to be Tatum?
I feel like most nights it'll be Kyrie, Smart, Jalen, Jason, and Horford, right? And obviously, that's a five that could get gashed rebounding-wise. But it seems like those are the five guys Stevens trusts the most. And the five guys he'll kind
of... In the playoffs, do you trust Tatum more than you trust Morris? I mean, I guess Morris is a vet, but he's also going to do the ISO MOOC stuff. But I don't know. I feel like Morris, like, defensively, he's not going to be scared of the moment. He's a guy you can, like, throw at LeBron. I don't know. I'm just, like, I'm weary of Tatum a little bit just because he's not the 50% three-point shooter that I thought he was, and I feel, like, a little bit duped by his first 2 months of the season.
He's only 40-something percent. That's...
I know, man. But he was 50, and that's what I got used to. That's what I got accustomed to, and now he's changing the game on me. It feels a little dishonest on his part.
I'm very sorry. He misled you and had you think he would be the greatest shooter in NBA history right away.
Thank you.
As a teenager.
I appreciate that.
I do feel like that's who Brad trusts the most. And I mean, I could be wrong. I think there will be times when he'll go to Morris. I think there will be times he'll probably go small and throw Tito out there and go three guards and try to speed up the game a little bit. I think
it's almost like the context of who they're playing and the situation in the game would factor into this decision making. So having a preview for it might not be the best intellectual exercise.
But one thing I do want to kind of not debate you about, but I do want to bring up, is I feel like Baines's impact has been minimalized by a lot of people. Maybe it's just on Twitter. Maybe it's just I've seen people, your start Tice movement. I saw a petition to start Tice online, which is
there was an official petition.
Pretty funny. But Baines has been really, really a great defender for the Celtics and a great, great rebounder. The rebounding splits when he's on and off are just night and day. And I do think sometimes his impact is minimalized by people who don't love it when the offense, like, stalls and he misses 11-foot papa shots sometimes and whatever the case may be. But I do think people have overlooked how good Aaron Baines has been and how big a piece he's been to their defense this season. He's been a huge upgrade, I think, from what Amir Johnson gave the Celtics last season. And, like, Amir Johnson, they had to go away from him a lot in the playoffs, or they had a lot of trouble with Marcin Gortat, Robin Lopez, even when Amir Johnson played. Those guys aren't going to give the Celtics trouble anymore because Aaron Baines is a physical dude and a great defender. So I do.
Yeah, his defense has been completely overlooked, especially by people like me, because you see the Celtics with a struggling offense and you're trying to look for solutions for ways to do it. And it would make sense that Baynes would be the guy you take off the court just because he can only hit those mid ranges. And then, I mean, I was talking about Baynes is like and complaining about his mid ranges before the Hornets game, and then he just made like seven. What did he start the game like 11 for 11 from like with 12 footers?
I think he's literally made his last 11 shots from the field or 12 shots from the field or something. He's been on an outrageous streak. He also had a thunderous dunk
to open the game. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, he put a little juice on that one. So I did want to stick up for Baynes a little bit. I think Baynes has been more important than.
Yeah, no, he's one of the reasons. If you look at all the lineup stats of like defensive rating, he's always in those lineups. He's been quite good on the defensive end. It's just kind of it's weird in the playoffs. I just feel like things get smaller and
yeah, that is 100% true.
Need the shooting. So, by no means I want to diminish Baynes. I just was trying to think of a way to kind of. I think Tice is a bit of more of a two-way player, which I think makes him more dangerous just because he can do stretch the floor a little bit. But you're right. I think ultimately Baynes is a much better offensive player. Defensive player. I think we saw that with Greg Monroe coming in and like really struggling on defense, just being a step slow in the pick and roll or not knowing when to kind of step up on guys like that. We should appreciate Baynes' defense a little bit more just because you can't just send any big guy in there. It really takes some skill and just effort on his end, which Baynes is always giving to kind of go out and just be a part of like with the league's best defense so far.
That being said, he'll probably be minimized against the Rockets because they spread out the floor forcing guard three.
That being said, in playing a playoff style game like you might find against the Rockets, you're not going to see a lot of Aaron Baynes out there.
Anyway, let's talk a bit about the Eastern Conference landscape because we did promise the people. Yeah, I think you've got some 76ers takes.
The 76ers came out today. They basically just beat the Cavs from start to finish. And it started the NBA Twitter a-fluttering. Like, you don't want to see this team in the first round. Like, no one wants to play the Sixers. It was interesting. The Sixers right now are the sixth seed. I think if the season ended today, they would end up playing the Cavs again. But not a lot of space between
the space Sixers. Between – what was that, a Dave Matthews Band song? I'm out here singing Dave Matthews Band, bro.
I'm glad you did. Normally, I'm the one who butts in with random shit, but, like, you just did it, and it was fucking cool.
I'm the Jalen of Space Between lyrics. I just make weird shit cool. Not weird shit. Being intellectual is not weird. Being intellectual is wise, people.
Read a book, man. I just read a book. It was all about The Wire. It was pretty cool. But now I'm going to read a more intellectual book because I've been inspired by Jay King and Jaylen Brown. But I digress. It got me thinking about the Celtics. They're currently the two seed, a half game back of the Raptors. But if you're trying to map out the playoffs, it feels like we've gotten to the point in the season where we know what the Celtics are, but now it's just kind of jockeying for position in the playoffs. You're hoping everyone like maintains healthy, but we all know the Celtics are going to make the playoffs. So round one, who do you think is the best matchup for the Celtics out of the potential teams? I think I'm ruling the Pistons out at this point, so it'd really be between the Heat, the Bucks, the 76ers, or the Pacers.
I don't think the Heat are that good, and I think that adding Dwayne Wade made them worse.
Oh, absolutely. He's an old man, and he's not very good at basketball.
I am in no way sold that the Pacers are very good, even though Oladipo's...
The Pacers play the Celtics well. They only beat the Pacers in Indiana from that crazy Tito steal, and then the Pacers came in and whooped their ass before the All-Star break.
Yes, that is true.
Those are both facts.
But those would be the two teams. I just think Philadelphia has so much young talent that it scares you because in any game, they could have the two best players on the court with Embiid and Simmons. And not that they are the actual best players, but they could play like it that night. Milwaukee.
Especially Embiid. Like, Embiid is insane, and you're about to talk about Milwaukee. They have Giannis, too. Like,
yeah. So, and even Washington could fall. Like, the standings after Boston are kind of bunched together. Cleveland has a tiny bit of space, but not too much. They're could be a lot of different matchups right now. But I think if I were Boston, I would want to play either Miami or Indiana. And I don't just say that because I want to go to Miami to cover a series.
But out of all the cities, would you rather go to Miami or Indianapolis, Milwaukee, or Philadelphia? I think it's a tough choice.
I'm a big Philly guy. I'm a big Indianapolis guy. I'm not a big Milwaukee guy. But
I've never been to Milwaukee, so I can't tell you. But yeah, Philly's pretty dope. But no, Miami would be the best. But I think for the Celtics, that's the team with the least amount of talent and who you'd want to play. So they're like, they kind of have a reason to be playing to that one seed, because right now the Heat are in that eight seed, a half game back of the seventh. You imagine that they would stay in that eight seed, but you're right. I just don't think they have enough talent. Although Spoelstra is a pretty good coach.
He's a wizard, man. Spoelstra is a great coach. I love Spoelstra's teams.
Exactly. He's like, they finished the year playing pretty hot last year. Didn't make the playoffs, but they could be a good team. Plus, they got Kelly Olynyk, who we know is a menace in Game 7s. So you never want to play Kelly Olynyk in a Game 7.
Yeah, got to beat that guy in six games or less.
Absolutely. And now that they got the cool Miami Vice uniforms, that's a factor I don't want to really mess with. So maybe I just talked myself against playing Indiana. I would say agree with you, the Pacers, just in terms of talent, but I did mention those two games. You just don't want to run into Giannis and Embiid, either of them, in the first round, just because they could just supernova. Like the games against the Celtics, got all their games against the Bucks out of the way early this year, but there are some times where Giannis was just unstoppable. I think it was Greek Night in Boston, but he scored like 45 points. The Celtics still ended up winning because Kyrie was also pretty unstoppable, but. Dude, sometimes just best player on the court will win you a playoff series, and so you don't want to run into that with Giannis. I think I think I'd be more scared of the Bucks than I was the 76ers, just because I think, although the 76ers have ultimately more talent, I just think because they're so young and inexperienced, they are more likely to get got in a 7-game series.
Get got. I think we should just end it with the get got line. That's that seems like a good place to end it. We are the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you don't subscribe to us, you're a moron, first of all. But to do it, search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, wherever else. We are the only Celtics daily Celtics podcast Monday through Friday. We just have great takes. great takes, beautiful conversation, lovely voices. So you should really join us day to day. Make us a part of your daily routine, because we would really appreciate that. And
for the love of God, just subscribe, people. It's not that hard.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
That's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.